called to order.
Awesome.
All right. Call this meeting to order. This is a special meeting, work session of the Board of Trustees of Gunnedah Independent School District. Today is July 26, 2011. The time is 5:59 p.m. Tony, please call roll.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez? Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Mrs. Quintana called and said she would be unable to attend because one of her children was.
Thank you. Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
And Ms. Gonzalez also called in and said she'd be unable to attend. All right. First agenda item and only.
That is the Board of Trustees and Superintendent will participate in a board workshop for the purpose of goal setting for the 2011-12 school year.
All right, Doc.
Thank you, guys. There is dinner, green chili chicken, Tony.
Lasagna, and a salad.
Do y'all want to go ahead and eat first, or do y'all want to? Yeah?
That would be great. I need a couple more minutes to gather my thoughts. So.
Okay. We are now on agenda item.
One of one. Okay.
Two.
Oh. Okay. The first thing I passed out was the policies that govern this process. My first recommendation to the board is that I get a team of maybe Martha Carrasco, possibly Diana Hidalgo, maybe Annette, to bring BQ Legal to a regular board meeting for a review and local. BQ Local for a review in front of the entire board in regular session to present any options that you guys want to change or things that maybe administration would like to offer for change. Gustavo's taking a look at this. He wants to make a couple comments about some of the sentences in BQ Local.
Just want you to kind of serve some of the major instructions and mandates that are in the policy here. Especially, the last sentence of the first part, the district mission goals and objectives and campus objectives, that sentence reads, the board shall ensure that the district maintains an aligned, written, taught, and tested curriculum. The second sentence, after a very long first sentence of the second part, district improvement planning process. The board shall approve the process under which the educational goals are developed and shall ensure that input is gathered from the district level committee.
Then the next sentence, the planning process shall describe a calendar of events necessary to ensure alignment. And one of the things that I brought tonight is a blank calendar with the 2011-12 calendar on top. Maybe one of the things that we can do is kind of plan out over the next 12 months how we want this to go for the next round of events. Go ahead, just stop.
It's also important to note that there's a parental involvement plan that's outlined by the policy and also an evaluation aspect to the policy that is clearly outlined and it outlines the data gathering and criteria that should be taking place in order to make sure that the goal setting is aligned and that it's updated and it's in line to what the needs and goals of the school district are. The rest of the policy is pretty tight and it just outlines some of the elements of the program and accountability, and it lists criteria that is needed to make sure that the program design and selection is up to date. But it's pretty self-explanatory gives step-by-step and line-by-line outline.
And then the very last paragraph on page 3 of 3 is what we did last week. An annual report shall be made to the board on the results of the use of the program in the district. you know, programs that require significant human and physical resources to impact a broad recommendation shall be included in the report. So, and I was wondering if the board had anything, if they see any, maybe if they see anything tonight, or if in the next few days you see something that you want changed. And then I could also take this to cabinet and maybe create a subcommittee and see if there's anything that administration would like to offer to the board, and then bring it back at a regular board meeting.
In terms of this policy and the wording in it, is that...
If there's something that's missing, something that's outdated.
Well, you know, Dr. Murphy, let me tell you, when I, last week, I looked up in the index of our board book, board goals, and there are actually two other policies that we could have, should have, that we that don't exist in our district. I want to say it's BF because all the goals are under B's. But I'm really not sure what those were going to equal. These are good. You know, I read over these. I feel like we have very good policies with this. But I didn't know if you were familiar with the other ones that,
no.
that aren't, that we don't have included.
The history since I've gotten here was that there was 11 adopted board goals that were all over the place, and the feeling was when I got here that if we could tighten them up and maybe create 3, 4, 5, that's where we started using that term overarching goals for the district, and that's kind of where we got the set that we got last year that I presented on last week. And then so I'm set to do it again, although Ms. Searles has mentioned to me several times that she wants this year-long planning process, which is what this kind of what this alludes to. The problem is with the TRE and the bond and everything, it just didn't happen this past year. So what I would like to do, at least my recommendation to the board, is allow these overarching goals with performance objectives with your comments to be adopted then for this school year, 11-12. Then tandem with that, create a timeline for 2012-13 goals, which are done in a much more careful way, fully following everything under BQ. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Because you're supposed to do the goals before you do the budget and all of that. And if we set up a timeline, we can get that all done for next year. This year, we're already past that. So what we put together are these overarching and performance objectives that I gave you in the Friday packet.
And we started doing that, and even what we even had, we had I think it was one or two nights that we had for, and we invited the community to participate before we even set all this down.
We could certainly add that.
We had one night where we invited the community. The board back then was really focused on trying to get community participation, and we couldn't get them to come out. And finally, one year, what we did is we split up areas where people could go to. Instead of having one big general meeting with the community, we had several areas. You want to give your input on curriculum, you want to give your input on facilities, you want to give your, and we break up. And you had a chance to go around to those areas. And people turned out for that. That was the only way that we ended up getting more people out.
It was very successful and effective also.
Yeah, and so we did that in October before formulating our part of it. We would do that, and then we'd sit down and the campus improvement committees would take into account some of the stuff. You remember this. Goal setting meeting we had that we invited the public in.
I think it was the first time that we really met the public's participation with great success.
Yep.
Otherwise, we would hold kids hostage to come.
Yes.
And, you know, the parents would participate.
So.
Something else that I noticed while I was looking through all the goal stuff is when we were in Fathens, I guess in April, we went to a workshop, and in that workshop, they reminded us that by law, I mean, it's not by choice or we feel like it, by law, we have to, as a board, have the performance goals. There are performance goals.
Right. Right.
And we make those, and then we hold the superintendent accountable. So it's not our choice whether we do or we don't. We have to. And they also brought up to us that with that, if we keep, and if we do this, if we can make it work, you know, going throughout the year, making these goals and making it work, they reminded us that when you focus on the goals, micromanaging goes away. And if they're goals that you truly want and that, you know, you desire, then that's what the board focuses on. And come the next year, Dr. Murphy is accountable.
If you look at page one of BQ Legal, it says exactly what you just said. The board, right at the top, the board shall ensure that district improvement plan and improvement plans for each campus are developed, reviewed, and revised annually for the purpose of improving the performance of all students. And then specifically to what you said, the board shall annually approve district and campus performance objectives and shall ensure that the district and campus plans are really good, basically, is what it says. So mutually supportive and support the state goals and objectives. So the goal would be to come up with some sort of calendar, and if we could just get it kind of by month as to how we would do community input, board workshops, first draft, that sort of thing, looking at campus plans, their first drafts, and so that we could really do ramp this up and do a much better job in, over the course of the next 12 months so that in July when we pass the budget for 2012-13, it's in totally alignment with goals that we'd already adopted back like in February. My goal is to have this type of, have the meeting where we approve the goals for 2012-13 like during tax time, February, March, April, prior to the budget. So at least a month ahead.
The only other problem too is we don't get that data.
Yeah, you don't get the data. That is
true. To actually have some type of goals, because the main thing is you want to put goals that are not attainable. Well, of course, you want to put goals that you're able to say, you know what, we'll see a 2-3 point gain in this area instead of saying, well, we want to do better in math.
You know,
we want to be able
but
to.
But I think Pam just tell us that that's almost going to be impossible
next year.
Right now with
yeah, for next year we can't. We don't know
that we can't.
That once we start getting the stars and the
in 2 years
EOCs, then of course exams, then we'll be able to analyze where we stand and where we want to go from there. Yeah.
You know, and just thinking way out there, 2 years from now. They're saying the first set of tax, I mean, STAR and EOC final scores will be available at Christmas 2012, meaning the kids will take the exams this coming spring for the first time, but then at Christmas is when we'll get the scores. So we'll already be in the next school year. But if you think about it, if we create a process for this next 12 months, which then will have us looking at the stuff like in December, January, in the following year, that'll be about the time that we'll be getting the scores. So we'll have it for that. But, Laura, you're right. And I've talked to a couple superintendents. I talked to Superintendent Socorro in particular, and they don't know what they're doing as far as setting STAR and EOC marks. So you'll see how nebulous ours is. I wrote as a draft for you guys that we would participate and that we would 95% participation rate with 100% of our students prepared to take the test. Because if we start saying they're going to score a 70% and 80%,
what about looking at
no idea.
Trying to go with the average?
We don't know what that's going
to
be
to attain. But once we get that, that's where our goal is. We want to be at least average this year.
Right.
So
we won't get that average score until Christmas of 2012. So next summer. I will not have that data to tell you if we met our goal or not.
So if they take the end of course exam, when is that they take the
November, they'll take it, the exams will be between February and May 2012, and we'll get the results November, December 2012.
So it's not necessarily at the end of course when they take the exam?
No, well, the end of course will be there in May, but the STAR will start in February.
And so you won't get it a year. That's ridiculous.
That's right. That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
What we could do is say, take a measure and say X percentage of our students will pass. Whatever the pass is, and then see where we're at.
And do we just...
It's still nebulous, but...
Make it...
So we don't know what the passing rate is.
We don't even
know.
We
still won't be able to evaluate anyways until next December.
We will. It'll literally be just taking a shot in the dark. The average pass rate for EOC Algebra 1 right now is in the 50% across the state. Now, EOC is only offered for 8th graders right now, but and the average is 50%. But if you think about who takes Algebra 1 in 8th grade, it's the top kids. It's not. I didn't take Algebra 1 in 8th grade. It's the GT and high honors kids that take it, and they only pass it at a 50% clip right now.
Does that tell you something wrong about the state?
And it's been like that for years.
Let me tell you, it's that they don't align anything, not the teeks to the tax, not their, you know, and every time they do that, they did it with the very first testing deal, which was
TOS.
They did it again with TEX and TAX, okay? And it took a consortium of all the districts, of a lot of the regions, not districts, a lot of the regions, to even try and come up with what they were trying to get us to do through the CSCO.
CSCO,
when
right.
When they developed it.
Yep.
That's something that the state should have done.
Yep.
And now they're doing this, and they don't even know. They've written, in other words, what they've done is they've written everything they think students need to pass, and then they say, well, we only really mean half of it because only half of them pass. Mm.
Or they'll set the standards so low. Another way that they do it is they'll say 70% of the kids should pass, but a kid only needs to get a third of the questions right to pass.
Yeah.
So then you get this 70, yay, we hit 73%, so you're all excited, and then you get the actual data and you realize that they passed at a 30%, they got a 30 on the test, and the state just said approved.
Raw scores.
Yeah, they got a 30%.
With the curve or without?
Well, that's the curve, you know.
That's the curve.
The 30% gets it, gets the passing.
So how meaningful are the texts that they write, really?
And so that is where administration is recommending a very simple goal this year, this particular year, of participation and preparation and not actual scores.
Can you pass the goals?
Yeah, I'm sorry. These are just the goals that were in your Friday packet.
Dr. Murphy, that sounds very appropriate.
And that's what cabinet and leadership feel as well.
And your wording is very nice, too.
Mr. Practice.
Yes, did you practice on the wording?
So on the district accountability goal, on the first couple pages, and let me just say this, you know, there's other accountability measures. There is our financial first, which we get superior on, we certainly want to maintain. But there's also PBMAS, which is a specific accountability for special ed, LEP, and CATE, which we don't do too super well on sometimes. And so one of the things that we were talking about in leadership yesterday morning was this notion of, well, you know, if we don't set a hardcore goal on STAR, why don't we set a hardcore goal on PBMAS, which we've really never done before? Why don't we set a hardcore goal on the STAR chart, which is technology ratings, and take this year and really focus on those metrics, those numbers, as opposed to our science-specific score, our math-specific score? And that's why, like on page 2, second bullet, see, look, at, this is very measurable. CISD will participate in the state's performing PBMAS system, improving PBMAS scoring and reducing by 50% the aggregate total of negative indicator performance levels, scores of 2 or 3. PBMAS scores like golf, the lower the score, the better you want zeros and ones. And we have probably 15, and there's probably 30 measures. And we have about 15 of them that are twos and threes, or maybe not, maybe 10 twos and threes. And we're saying we want to cut it in half this year. And that'll really focus the district on LEP, SPED, and CATE.
That sounds good. Is there any accountability under the CATE program?
It's PBMAS. There's twos and threes that we have on CATE as far as participation. Actually, they're tied to tax scores. So we're going to have to get an update on PBMAS to see, because they look at how specific LEP kids, CATE students do, and those types of things.
Okay.
Page three has the first system, maintaining the superior rating. And then at the bottom, the additional measures, completion rate. We hit, last year we were at 79. This year we hit 85. We met our goal beautifully. And so we're asking for an 88. The graduation, we scheduled this meeting one day early. The graduation and dropout rates are set to arrive tomorrow. So I still have question marks there. We get them tomorrow, and then we'll be able to set a goal based on that. And I'll communicate in Thursday packet this week as to exactly what they are.
Doc, one thing.
Yes.
On the top, the financial integrity
yes.
rating system. I think we need whoever. Are we having a Farm West meeting for the before we're going to TASB?
Do we know when we go to FAPE?
There should be a legislative update, though, because we just got out of a legislative session.
I just read that whole TASB magazine cover to cover, and there was not one word.
You know, we always do that before.
Yeah.
Anyways, but even if they don't, what we do at the, what is it, the representative we sent for the...
TASB
delegate.
Your TASB delegate.
Yeah, what we need to do is we need to, and we ought to start talking to TASB now.
You should take comments.
Okay. We ought to start talking to TASB now that we need to get rid of that performance indicator on the first system that is meaningless right now because of the economy, because
the interest rate. Advocate
ridiculous.
For the removal of the
no,
indicator.
To change it with some kind of index.
With an index of?
Because right now it's meaningless. No district is going to make it, period. So why have it? If 100% of your districts aren't making it.
Who we're going to send as our delegates.
They haven't sent out the packets yet. They usually send us a form and
right.
we
yes.
present it to
right.
you at a formal,
right.
at a board meeting.
So I think, you know, we ought to start contacting TASB now for that.
Gustavo, you can help with that.
That they change the...
Well, why don't we do a board resolution, send it to TASB?
That's true.
That's or do a board resolution, send it to all of Far West,
and
get them to dovetail with us, and then the whole thing goes to TASB.
Exactly.
We get judged on how much interest we earn, and how in the heck are we ever going to
earn anything
right now.
Right, and back when they set this goal, they set it as a fix instead of setting it to some... index,
yeah. Sliding scale.
Yeah.
Dr. Murphy, I'd like
something
to, at our next meeting, or if there's something before that, at the financial meeting, maybe we could have it ready. And, a resolution that this is exactly what we want to happen, and send it around to all the rest of the boards in this region and ask them to partake with.
And what we ought to do is just include there, I don't know if we can get access to it, how many districts met that last year? Probably zero.
As well as our TASB director. Sending it to TASB director. I think it's Marty and...
I think we'd start with a board resolution.
Yeah.
If we can't get ready for August, we'll definitely do it in September.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the
I want to call our attorney.
But by September, it's too late.
You think?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, it's too late by September.
When is the next finance meeting?
August 4th.
So it's right around the corner. Okay.
And it's not, it's not going to be like a long and
I'm going to use Steve
just
to help on
that.
Just get a basic resolution that we need to send and send it off to our leadership.
Yes, ask Steve to
local leadership,
it.
TASB people. Who is it?
Our TASB directors?
Yeah.
Is Marty, and I think it's... Who's El Paso?
It used to say, yes, Patty.
Patty.
Patty's not the president
Patty.
Anymore.
But the TASB directors.
Well, it was Patty and the lady from Isleta.
Marty. We had to tell them because that's, four or five points it knocks up right off the bat. There's no way you're going to be able to make either one, two, or three points out of there.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And that hurts everybody in
their
ratings.
Their August meetings for them to sign.
Remember, okay. We had talked about this when we went through that. So, anyways, that's one point.
Good.
Okay.
Put something aside for resolutions and policies. And when we think of policies, we need to revisit throughout the year.
Yeah. Well, I have that down here. It's way deep in the. It's on page 18. So I'm thinking we just need to take a formal look at BQ Local, and then this one would be. Well, that's a resolution.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I keep going?
Yeah.
All right, moving forward to page 4. Very frustrated. We had a big discussion about this yesterday. So last year we were at 95.1% attendance. And we wanted to increase it by 0.5. We want to go from 95.1 to 95.6. So if you'll remember and recall, we took $30,000 out of the budget stakeholders. This was a budget stakeholders item. And we created incentives where if schools hit a certain mark on their attendance, they got money. And the principals loved it, and they joked about it, and there was a little competition amongst principals. And in the end, after spending $30,000 incentives, our attendance rate was 95.1. It's exactly the same as it was last year. Didn't go an inch anyway. And so we have set the goal again. You'll see there on the right, 95.6. We're setting it again to get that 0.5 increase. And I'm stymied for idea. I don't know. We did a big thing last year. And so the feeling on leadership was we got to get more to the parents than just the campus principals and teachers. So any ideas on improving attendance?
Give a party to the students.
Yeah.
Do we have PTAs at all of our campuses?
No, we don't have PTOs or PTAs at any of our campuses.
That ought to be. It used to be.
It used to be,
law.
But.
But I mean,
no. There are laws about having committees, but there's not a law about having a PTO, which is not affiliated with it. That's just a group of parents.
Yes, but it used to be law that you did, each campus had to have one. I think they loosened it and said now you had to have a PAC.
Yeah, which is what
and,
we have.
Maybe if we had, you know, stirred up some interest in some parent-teacher organizations, some kind of, you know, get parents.
A greater parent.
The problem is those parents are active and they know the importance of education. Is how do you get those parents that either can't be active because they're busy working or aren't active to actually realize the importance of education?
Now, Jim and Monica.
Enchilada dinner.
Yeah.
But Doc, let's go a little bit further than that and let's find out which campuses actually did better.
Yeah.
And which didn't.
Exactly.
And I have a feeling that the high school is probably responsible
for dragging
them for keeping
well, yes,
it the same.
They are lower.
And some of them probably may have gotten a little bit higher. Or
and Dad,
whatever.
You can't even if you talk to the parents.
Yeah.
Those high school kids are.
Secretaries, especially if you look at Davenport, they're always on top of their game.
Yeah.
And I understand they have less students, but that secretary calling that home makes a big difference. Yeah, the high school drops the ball on that.
Because the automated system doesn't work as effectively.
Why don't we do this?
They don't do that anymore?
Why don't
no,
we
the
do
high
this?
School? No.
Can't
because
we
used to have the automated system, and until you answered, they kept calling.
They do it, but it's not consistent. Sometimes they call, sometimes they don't. It's not consistent at all.
Can't we do this, that say, do a afternoon field day, whatever, and only those students that have a less than whatever absences for the rest get to participate in the field
student
day.
Rewards.
Maybe a UTEP
student
day.
Reward. I mean, if the campus rewards aren't working, let's try the students.
Okay. Now, Monica Reyes Garcia and Jim Fry were adamant about this point, and I wanted to bring it up. They feel that as our district begins to grow at even a stronger rate, that it's time for us to get a second truancy officer.
An effective truancy officer first.
That even if George is working at full capacity, that we really need two to split the difference, split the district. And they feel that if we get a better truancy prevention thing with two officers, that we could increase our attendance, and if we do so, the truancy officer will pay for himself because we'll get more money in ADA.
Who's responsible for overseeing the truancy officer?
Margarita Armendariz. Yeah.
There needs to be some work done there.
Jim was actually happy with George's performance this year, and he talked at length about it yesterday, but none of the other principals are. Because
all he has is high school.
So the feeling is if we could get to and do a K-8 person in a high school or these types of schools and those types, something like that, we could get a deeper
look into it. He does hang out. He doesn't do truancy. He does security. Like, not serious.
When a campus has a kid that isn't attending school or has a kid who's maybe the campus suspects doesn't live in our district or whatever, do they automatically call George and then he goes out and does a home visit? Or how does that work, Dr. Murphy?
Well, yes. Whenever we get a rumor or a report that you have a nefarious activity where a parent is keeping the kid, thwarting attendance, keeping the kid from school, or that they possibly don't live in the area, George does go
and
investigate.
Does he come back and report back to the campus?
Yes. He reports back and they take it. And then we did much better this year with Judge King and the relationship there. Now, what I understand, now I heard this about Judge King. Judge King's all about hurting and nailing the high school kids, but he's a softy on elementary and middle school kids. Just total softy.
Well, don't let that get out.
Yeah.
Let's talk to him.
Yeah.
Is he soft on the kids or is he soft on the parents?
Yeah, both. They just get a slap on them, go to school, and that's pretty much it. Although he became much more active this year with us at the high school, not so much. And also getting another truancy officer might help that, in that they'd be pressing that.
Is that policy in place across the campuses, whether it's high school, middle school, or elementary school?
Regarding?
Let's say you miss 3 days, you're going to automatically
The whole legal system side of it is campus by campus. It really, and I noticed that yesterday myself, that we really don't have, you know, this principal says, call the police, call...
Let's get something in place where it's standardized. Whether it's 3 days, you get this letter, and if you continue on the fourth, fifth day, then we send a letter to.
I'm surprised they do
no,
the letter.
We do have it standardized to where they get the letter.
No, but I'm saying
the question
whole system.
Is being active and actually pursuing the legal side of it in the courts. It's different.
I think we need to be consistent across the board.
I don't think that the truant officer is doing it though, because I get it, like my son this year that was absent a lot from the high school for dentist appointments, whatever, and he didn't take the note in, I got it in the mail. And that's not reliable. You're supposed to hand deliver it. That's what the truant officer is there for.
But can you imagine, though, delivering it to everybody? That
I know, but when it reaches a certain point...
I'm saying he doesn't have enough time.
Or then they should
that.
Send it certified, because it's real easy to say, I never got it. They do it
certified.
All the time.
I know at Franklin, if my daughter misses one period, I get a phone call.
Unbelievable.
Automated. Beautiful.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get it from AMS, but
when my kids went to school here,
they
got
the campus
that.
Is very dependent.
I used to answer
I get
the phone.
From the elementaries. And
the dad, all right.
I'm going to really get on him. Your brother to answer for it.
Well, we need to get our automated call system for that.
Automated call system, checkup, standardized truancy.
Email, we could do emails now, right? Do we have it on the form where we get the parents' email?
The percentage that have it.
Not everybody has it.
No, well, whoever we do, then let's try to, because the ones that do have it are going to be.
But most people have, even, you know, even knowing people have text messages.
Just text messages.
Yeah. Okay, text message notification system should be looked into. Cause
that's true.
Every text.
We could take the 30,000 and invest it in some of these systems.
Yeah.
And actually help pay for the second truancy.
There's something that at the conference, one of the conferences, they did a text too. There's those text systems, alerts. So we could probably put that on the form, the cell number, and then if they allow, do they have unlimited text or would they want to be texted?
All right. Thank you for that talk.
So we're in agreement to standardize it.
I have check on the automated system and see what upgrades we can do. Standardize the truancy reporting system across all campuses without variation. Student rewards, look at student reward opportunities. I hear secretary training, administrative assistant training, and get a standardized there as far as calling parents. greater parent participation, and possible hiring of a second truancy officer. Okay. Is that what you have, Tony?
Yes, sir.
You know what really goes along with that, guys, is our security. Because during the day, our truancy officer isn't out going to campuses and doing it. He's busy focusing who's not here, who's not going out to this. The ones who can really see if they're skipping or be on the lookout is our security, roving security people. And we don't really have them during the day, do we?
No. And I'm worried about our security.
We focused on security 5 years ago. And the board said we have a need to do this 4 or 5 years ago.
We have one security officer.
And we still haven't done it. And we did it because we didn't have any money. Not because there wasn't a need for it.
During the day?
Oh, no, I'm talking about in the evenings and on the weekends.
No, he's saying during the day. They have two at the high school.
Yeah, they have two at the high school.
And George.
At the high school they have two?
They have two during the day.
With George.
But they don't rove around.
Well, they said, never mind.
Dude, no, they're just on campus.
They're just on campus.
They just watch the
but
video.
How many of our middle school kids leave?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Where did they go?
It's harder. The
outlet mall. AMS, the outlet mall. Yeah, it's AMS. They just cross
the street. Why George go to the outlet mall?
Yeah, it's harder for the middle school
bus,
and high school though.
Yeah,
no, I know that. But if we had one roving for the whole district during the day, that would help.
Once you get the buzz,
oh, the security guard caught so-and-so.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And well, it's
ditching from the middle school. They're going to say, oh, shit, they're on to us now.
Yeah.
Or they were at the outlet mall during lunch or at the McDonald's, and you see.
Well, way we could coordinate with the outlet mall? Because I agree. Yeah, that's a magnet. And I know they have security. You see our kids there? You call the school.
I worked at one other district, had a closed campus lunch, and the assistant principal one time went to McDonald's and he asked to stand at the drive-thru, and the kids would come through the drive-thru and they'd get their food and he'd give them a detention through the window.
I got that.
Along with their order?
They'd open the window and there'd be the AP standing there staring at them. Hey,
once you get that buzz,
you want fries with that?
Let's not go here. Let's go to the one.
Yeah, but like the way the high school
is set up. You want fries with your Saturday detention?
It is. It's way too easy to leave at the high school. Easy.
It was easy when we had kids.
It wasn't that easy.
Hey, Coach Scott, we'll be back.
It wasn't that easy like it is.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have any other ideas for performance objectives as far as accountability? We have STAR, EOC, we have the tax, which is left. We still have tax in 10th and 11th grade, PBMAS, FIRST, the additional measures, and the attendance, which covers everything that AYP and the state require, plus some other things. I am excited about focusing on PBMAS.
What was the other one you were looking at focusing on?
PBMAS and we're not there yet. The technology. It's on the next one.
But the college and career?
That's on the next one. Yeah. So page 5, we have the exact same types of goals that we had this year. Every graduating senior will take a college entrance exam. Every graduating senior will apply for college. Now notice what we did with the college. We'll apply for college, university, or other formal career prep program. What kept us from hitting 100% was we had life skills, deeply handicapped special ed students who graduated who didn't apply for college. But Janine says they are applying for career prep programs. And so if we add that, we can get all 100%.
That's really nice.
Can we start looking at making that into a policy?
Okay.
This
whole thing?
This whole thing as a board policy.
Okay, great. Setting.
That is great, because I was thinking, oh, this is standard operating procedure, really.
I think we ought to send out a resolution on this that to have the state change its core to relax the graduation requirements so that we can have every single kid to go through career and technology, get a certification.
What's your
that would be yeah. what we ideally should do. In other words, you know how they have their, what is it, their required graduation program, then the other one, the advanced program.
What we have recommended and distinguished.
Recommended and distinguished, and what we ought to do is say, okay, if you're going on to college, this is your alternatives, or these are your requirements. If you're going to go, if you are going to get a certification in a career tech, these are your requirements, and they can relax them in terms of the 4x4, the math, and the English requirements for that. But you've got to get certified, or else.
Yes.
So what you'd be advocating for is another graduation path.
Yes.
Keep recommended, keep that, but have a career in technology.
Career in technology.
And you know what's so sad, Sergio, and I don't, I love to read. I'm an avid reader. I read everything that comes down the pipe about education. What's really sad is we are so far above the curve for everyone that everyone else is where we were at 8-10 years ago saying, let's get everybody a college education.
Right.
That's just where we've already been through that, and we're headed over to where we can do bigger and better. So it might be hard to get others to go with us on that. But I think we ought to stand firm because it's, and that we ought to put our past history that we are progressive and we have already done, accomplished, and been there to get everybody college ready, and we're taking it to the next level.
Well, our mission is college and career ready.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we take a look at it, I bet you if we do some statistics, okay, how many of our kids drop out, Doc, or don't graduate?
It's like 6% in the end, but overall it's probably 30-40%.
30-40% of our kids are not going to go to college.
Right.
Those that do go to, can end up, that graduate, and how many of those don't go to college also? What are the percentage of that? What are the percentage that actually go to college?
Yeah, so I don't have that.
But is it because they're not college ready, or you know?
I think this year with our
well, there's several factors that come into place when you're looking at those statistics.
I think this year with our push for the application and the testing, I think we're going to have a higher number going.
Yeah, we're going to have a higher number, but I don't think it's going to be 50%.
No, it's not. But the thing is,
so a greater percentage of kids do we have that don't go to college?
Right.
Which percentage? It's probably about 70%.
Okay. So why aren't we also doing something for them?
Okay. The idea.
Not to exclude them from not going to college. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Give them an extra something.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the way we could go about it is you have the distinguished program, you have the recommended program, and if we could try to create some type of model so it gives some framework for our legislative delegation to actually say you could implement a career in technology program so you lax those for the 4x4 model and you say some of these classes could go into that career in technology. So if we could come up with some type of resolution to send to our legislative delegation. The other thing was, when I talked to Steve about what you had mentioned, the other thing is, one of his legal counsel, one of the persons that worked for him, is Naomi Gonzalez, a state rep.
That's nice.
So maybe we could have some lead there, but even with locally, I don't know if we'll get it with D, but that way we could look at a resolution on looking at that.
No, but the thing is that you're thinking is that focusing on career and technology is necessarily excluding them from going to college. No.
No, I'm not. I'm
That's
not
it.
I didn't say that.
Well, you were kind of saying that.
That was my.
The focus was that. I think we need these kids, we need to give them an out because some of them, here we are, we're pushing for 100% of our kids to go to college, and we know it's not going to happen. And we know we're not going to force some of those. And some of those we shouldn't force. Period.
And some are even going to go and stay 1 year.
Well, let me tell you.
And then quit college because it wasn't for them. Right.
I've done the research on this. Okay, of those that go to college in the first year, their dropout rate is horrendous. Okay? It's horrendous. In the state of Texas, for Hispanics, which are now the majority,
We have an 11% rate of college degrees. What's the other 89% doing, or what are they getting out of high school and college? 89%. What are they getting out of? What are they getting out of our 4 years and colleges? Not quite 4 years because they don't graduate.
You're thinking of my old statements.
Forget the old statement.
What I'm trying to say is,
I've been saying that for years.
And that's why we no. I think this was me personally, and the more people were able to say, the majority of our kids have the opportunity to go to college. It depends all on the drive they want to. And so how do we do that? And this has been a big argument, not an argument, but a constructive dialogue between how do we actually increase the amount of people that go to a university, because that's what we need to look at. But we need to look at how do we grow our economy by increasing the number of people that go to university or college, and now a career prep college. And we have that, and we would have it in policy. Now the question is, how do we create an opt-out while in high school that allows them to get like a CATE, where it would be like a distinguished program, but it would be a career in technology, where you get a certification in some type of field, but it doesn't have to follow that same type of model, but as a distinguished or the recommended, but it's something like that. Because board policy, we go with the recommended program because that's something we wanted. We wanted a higher standard for our kids, and we have set that, and our kids have accomplished that. It's how do we, and it has to be at the legislature because we have no say in how to do that. It's either those programs that they give us.
Armando, we do in a way, and I'm going to focus back on two of my sons. They both, your age, took the recommended program. It was already in place by that time. They took an academic path towards college. They both graduated from college in 4 years, very happy, and everything went just like it should go. But they had a bonus, and this is what Sergio's talking about. They went through FFA here, and Powell, he's a master welder. I mean, he can weld anything. Farrell can weld. He can drive large equipment. I mean, it's incredible what the CATE program
did.
And they got the college, but now they have these incredible skills to boot. And if we could, I'm so with what Sergio's getting at. If we could encourage our kids, because, they're kids. I know when I was in high school, I didn't want to do much anything but, lay by the pool. Kids need an encouraging path. Here, you girls can all take the cosmetology, or you know what? You other girls, you want to go work in the shop and fix cars? Because that's where I would have been. You can go work in the car shop and maybe learn how to fix a car. We're not going to cut into your academic time. We had the block schedule at the time. I don't know if we still have a block schedule at the high school.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We do, and it fit very well. CATE fit very well in the block schedule.
And what we need to do, and what I was meaning, and what I said was, we need to look at the state legislature to fix it, where they lack some of that, and they provide another program or a different type of model where it allows career and technology to grow. Because we only get funding for a certain amount, and how do we expand it if we're being constrained to other certain things?
We don't have facilities for some of it, too.
If it was up to me, I'd require even the kids that are going through the recommended or the distinguished to get a certification. I'd say everybody.
I agree.
Period.
And locally, we can do
not
that
just
as a board policy.
But I don't know that that's going to fly at the legislature.
But locally, we can do it. Armando's correct. We can require within our system that all children take 2 semesters of a CATE program.
Because you're going to wind it. There's always...
We can do it as a board policy. The thing is, it's sort of like the other thing is, and that's where we need to be diverse in the options that we're able to give our kids, but let them look into the future of where the opportunities are, so that way when they get out of here, they've already taken whatever exams they need to or have already applied to any of those programs.
What about community college? Do they have CAPE?
Yeah. They do, and so does EPI. EPIC is the biggest in the area, and we send kids to there.
Yeah, see, I hate that we send them there.
Well, we actually do really well.
I think they ought to be here. Yeah. We ought to have.
Well, they have a multi-million dollar facility.
We can have it. We can grow it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things that we could do, guys, with this building is exactly that.
Yeah.
Or we could just.
Or we could sell it and add a career technology next to administration wherever we move.
A big, nice one.
Yeah.
Put our own cosmetology school in and have, you know,
yeah,
do
the,
it right.
Yeah, the El Paso has is nice.
Yeah.
They have a lot of
And girls love it. It's a good career.
I mean, one of the things we need to talk about is do we go the full boat and say, we should send a resolution and say the state should, as part of their requirements, require every student to get certified in some career technology. Doesn't mean that we're not going to encourage them to go to college.
But
it just means we want them to get out and have some kind of
skill
from high schools. I mean, you get a degree in college and that's worth something, right? Well, not as much as it used to. What do you get when you get a college diploma if you don't have a certification? What does that get you?
Application to graduate school.
That's it, right?
I think it'd be so wonderful.
What does that get you?
It gets you nothing. My daughter just graduated from UTEP with a degree in political science. And if she wasn't going to law school, she'd be working minimum wage. She's not doing anything with that.
So what have the system done for those kids? And you know what percentage of those kids that is?
And how many of them have student loans?
You know, these are the percentages. These are the percentages. Hispanics in Texas, 11% actually get a college degree. Of those 11%, how many do you think actually get a job in the degree they have?
Four?
Half. It's related to their degree. Blacks, 14%. Or 17%, something like that. Oh, it's 14 and 17. Whites, 30, around, they're around the 30% that actually get a college degree. And a big percentage of those don't get a job in their degree. We didn't used to see that with teachers. Now we're seeing it with teachers.
Oh, yeah.
They're working in
Absolutely.
Other areas, not in their degree.
Like these people I'm telling you I got the word on in Dallas, these
yeah.
highly qualified math geniuses that are going to be working at the local grocery store.
Yeah.
About 10,000 education workers were laid off.
10,000?
Yeah. That's about the number. It was 12,000, but then because the cut wasn't so hard, they've given some back, but it's evening out somewhere around 10,000 across the state.
So think about it. 89% of our kids... 89, because, you know, what are we, 90% Hispanic, roughly?
Here?
Yeah. Okay. That means 89% of those 90% are not going to get a college degree. They may go to college, but they're not going to get a college degree.
Well, then let's teach them to do some.
And they go on to college, and even those that graduate aren't going to have, not all of them are going to have a job in that degree. So what has the system done for them?
Give them some student loans.
I'm all for education for education and education for education's sake. But not all the kids that go over there are doing it for that. They also want a job.
A lot of times that ain't gonna happen if
And the system is completely failing it. We're putting 100% of our resources on 11% of the kids. And we're stuffing and forcing four-year degree down their throats to some of them that we shouldn't be. And you know what? A college degree is overrated, in my opinion. If you have a robust career option, technology certification option, I mean,
I think it's worth, in my book, as much as those four-year degrees. Because those certifications are actually 2 years of the core stuff you're doing. College is the same thing. You're doing 2 years of basic prep. Well, we're going to call it prep. Think about it. Everybody takes it. How does that differentiate you? What does that allow you to do?
So, Sir Joe, should we write a broader and narrow resolution?
Well, that's up to the board. I mean, think about it. Do we really want to be, you know, if we actually take on that deal?
Sounds to me like the thing that has the most traction is a resolution to the state leadership about an alternative graduation path that would be Kate significant. Kate or
Lexum. That's my middle of the road.
That gives an option. I think that's where we would have to go. That's where I would want to go, because I mean, if you make all kids get a certification, I think it's the same thing that you've argued with me. So
I think we should send both, in my opinion.
And that all students
get a certification for every kid in school and relax your requirements to accomplish that. Second, create a whole new deal.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
I'm good.
You know,
I'm good.
They say.
I saw his face didn't look happy.
Give me the belt.
I think realistically, the state legislator, they need to give us that option. Once they give us that option, then we're able to provide that to our kids. But if we're telling the state legislator to make it a requirement, it's not going to fly with the state legislator, let's be honest.
Then why have high school? If we really want to, high school as a preparation to go to college, then let's just have 2 years.
And we're looking at some of the stuff that look at early college high school.
I think politically, though, it's going to be.
I know
that.
I know
politically
that.
They're going to be.
But I also think it's unique in the sense that the state is pushing Kate. They want Kate as well. I mean, they've got all those pathways and everything. They might be more open to creating.
We wouldn't be the only ones in the world to do it if we change. We wouldn't be the only ones to do it.
No, we're just providing, having them give us the option so we can create that program. From there on, each district, because each district, everything is local. Each district is local. You know, Dallas has more students that are going to attend higher ed. And if you require from the state, across the state, that it's a requirement, it's not going to fly. Let's be honest.
But what might fly is an optional graduation.
You're going to have people from Dallas, you know, saying, we're not going to make it a requirement. You know?
No, I hear
so
you.
So let's just go
I
with
think
the
that
option.
Would be the right thing to do, but...
It's the feasible thing to do would be the lobbying for a new plan.
You know, other countries actually have that plan.
And then we could talk to our state legislative delegation on the next go-around after election season and present it.
Other countries that are way ahead of us
in Germany.
Those other
In Germany. You at 16, you decide whether or not you're going
to
either a Kate plan, essentially, or a university plan.
Yeah, Mexico's the same way.
Okay.
Earlier than that.
Can we move forward? Page 6.
All right. I'll get off my soapbox there.
Good job, though, sir. I think we should give it this.
Why are we clapping?
Sergio's soapbox.
Serge, you
my
want to okay, did y'all come to an agreement?
Yeah, we're
going to
do a resolution.
Just on the option, right?
I'll get both of them ready, and then you guys can maybe talk.
And we have to understand, I think that this performance goal right here may end up being one of our biggest of all times.
Yeah.
And that with this, a budget is going to come with it. And we need to understand that and start squirreling away our budget that will hire whoever, who will, and I bet we can get good people right now. Every other school district around has fired everybody.
Guys, just look at this. When we made Kate this year, right, available at a...
We had more kids enrolled in
Culinary.
Kate.
The culinary
went up. The participation went up?
Yes.
Higher. So it's not like the kids don't want it.
They do. They want hands-on.
They do want it.
They do want it.
And we've even gone to things where the kids are saying, give us more options. Let us try something. Let us see what we want to do.
It's not like the kids don't want it. We're just not giving it to them.
Not like they're not learning. You can't be a moron.
Right.
And, I mean, you are going to have to apply math principles. Yeah. You are going to have to be able to read, write, follow through. Skills are very much included, high-level, high-tech skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a time, Dr. Murphy's always real high on our business partners. There was a time when our business partners actually would, help me with the word I'm looking for, apprentice, where it was one of these right up here. I think it was the plastic injection molding guy. The kids loved it.
Yeah.
They were so happy to go up there and work. It would, you know, do us, because we do have some nice factories that, you know, maybe extend a hand to let our kids come see, you know, maybe you want to work here.
I really think that's one area where not only we're missing, the rest of the state is. There's a few districts that are really going full boat on it.
That type of thing.
Yeah, they have their own career technology center. And I mean,
see, that's just it, guys. I mean, going to Armando's point, to actually create a situation where every student would have to be significantly enrolled, it is a capital outlay big time. It really would be.
And you're still going to have those students that are so far out of cohort, they won't have room to take it. They're just trying to graduate.
That's true, too. And if we created some sort of policy, it would really have to be careful to...
That's why we need to relax. That's the biggest impediment. We need to relax the state requirements.
Well, we can relax our record. I mean...
Okay, page 6. 6.5 million in scholarships. Very excited. We'll have our first... second graduation this year with Northwest Early College graduating as well as CHS. And the goal is $6.5 million between the two of them. The high school earned $5.9 this year, which was way up, 23% gain. The goal was 20%. They earned 23% more than last year. And $6.5 between the two of them. So... 80% of graduating seniors will apply for financial aid. This year we set it at 100. We only hit about 79. And Jim really feels that 80% is a great number for the district.
What about giving them 85?
You want to give them 85? That's fine.
It goes for career and tech.
Yeah,
it goes
for career and tech. Both. Financial aid is for both. And
you know, the Folger Center come in to play that new...
The Go Center?
That's right, yes.
It'll come right up to play.
Yes, and we'll have that 90. Person.
I heard the little counselor, though, say something that really surprised me, and yet I can agree with her and understand why we didn't have so many people applying for financial aid as we'd like. A lot of people don't want to give out their information.
That's right. Yeah.
And I can understand that. I would have never thought that would be a stumbling block.
I'm thrilled that they hit 79%, which is way up over
really good.
I agree.
Yeah, but
it's only up 1%. I think once you start creating that culture, and that's what we're trying to do here, and I think we're creating that culture of high expectation, to create in the culture of, you know, college readiness. And once the parents, because we've even heard stories where some of the parents, they got a letter from UTEP or from, you know, APCC or from NMSU or from different, they would come in and say, hey, Jim, or, you know, Mr. the principal or somebody else, the counselor, My daughter got this, you know, thing. What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, and I think once you create that, you know, drive and that culture, and that's, I think it started off this last year, and we continue it, we're going to go somewhere with it really big.
I agree, 85%.
Okay.
Okay. Next one,
And what's tough is when you're filling out the financial aid applications, we need to provide... Maybe if they want some type of independent people that aren't related to the district or not related or, you know, not, so that way they could fill a little bit more, maybe people from UTEP or something, because when they fill out the applications, that's where, you know, for the principal to be looking at income and, you know, the tax returns.
I remember they have that on college.
Yeah.
For you to have people come out and help you.
We had our best partners, our business partners, come and do a full day with the
seniors. When we advertise it to our parents.
Gustavo, you were involved in that.
Right. They did 2 days of half-day sessions where students rotated between three concurrent sessions on anything from how to land a job, how to dress for an interview, how to, how to fill out a resume, all those, college job readiness issues that we sometimes forget about. So they really addressed that, and the kids, I was there for part of both days, and the kids were really.
But then they also did financial aid stuff.
They did do college readiness. They talked about, it was ADP that did this, and ADP talked about, the job they have and what requirements are needed to fill those jobs.
One of them was our alumni.
And one of them was
the Lobos.
Yeah.
ADP sent over about 30 or 40 people. It's really good. Okay, rolling on. Northwest Early College High School will graduate at least 60% with dual degrees. Very disappointed about this number, but if we set it any higher, we're going to get gigged. The state average is around 80%, and Mission at Socorro graduates 100%. But this is our first graduating class, and we will be lucky to hit 60%. This is one of the reasons we have a new principal. We're trying to move forward, and so we're setting it at 60.
Why are they going there, then, if only 60% right. of them are going to get the dual degree?
See, it's a vicious cycle. For kids to be able to enroll at EPCC, they have to pass the ACCUPLACER. We have juniors this year who still have not passed the ACCUPLACER. So by definition, they haven't even been allowed to take class one.
So should that EPCC. Not be when
they don't belong there? We don't have something in place where you got to go back to the high
okay.
school. This is not for you.
Okay, but the principal, and we're going to get a lot better at this. The principal has to balance this issue of, like, Letty's concern about we don't have enough kids there. So if we're throwing kids out all the time. And then she would always say, well, maybe they're not getting 60 credits of college to get the associates, but maybe they're going to get 30. And then that's 30 more than I got. So, she's got to balance all that. We would like to create some sort of standard for incoming freshmen, showing maybe that they've at least attempted the ACCUPLACER, that they put in some time during the summer, like a two-week summer session, so that'll weed out some of the kids that don't want to give up part of their summer. Maybe some very minimal standards type of thing. But we have fewer numbers than the other schools, and the feeling is that if you set the bar really high, our numbers are going to be so low it won't support the school.
One thing, guys, ours really is different. The makeup of our student body at the early college high school is different.
It's totally...
Totally different.
Open enrollment.
The other college, early college high schools, they get... the cream of the crop.
That's right.
From the
because
whole district.
Because look at what we
so
did.
Think
we don't
about
have
it.
To buy in here.
I know, but think about it. They get all the cream of the crop of the huge
did
district.
Did they have to apply?
Yes.
But not just that. Look at what's actually going on here. I mean, you might not have 100% graduating with dual courses, but you're actually seeing, and this is past data, you're getting students that are still going to graduate high school but are going to get 30-plus college coursework while at the high school. The other issue is that the rigor that's going on there, you're able to see some of these kids perform more effectively because some of these kids are at risk and they might have needed that challenge, and that challenge has been able to help them. Now, they're not being excelling, but that challenge has been able to bring them to another level and become more...
How did they get there? I don't know.
They do a recruitment around the district.
In the 8th grade?
In the 8th grade. Actually, they even talk to 7th graders. And then they sign up. And there's a set of meetings they have to come to, and there's minimal... And then we take all comers. Whereas...
A lot of kids that went the first year, their parents forced them.
Okay.
They did not
well, that was my second question. Do they have to have parental consent?
And then in the other districts, as Sergio was saying, they got to have a B average, They got to have passed the tax at a certain level.
They get the cream of the crop.
And we don't have that.
We don't do any of that. Okay.
And I don't think we should do that. Because we don't want this to be only for the cream of the crop. We want to get those kids that probably would have not gone on to college to try and have a chance to go.
But at the same time, what the new principal is talking about is creating some requirements that aren't grade related, but are time related. If you want to come to Natchez, you got to give me 3 weeks of your summer.
That's
sort of.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
So there's a
I
prep.
Think the main objective and the reason why, like the, what are the communities, not what's the people that partnered up with us, the Aggies?
The Texas Foundation.
The Texas Foundation and all that. The reason why they came, the reason why we started this, and they're the ones that put in a good load of money, and they wanted to actually see how it is with our type of demographics when it comes to economically disadvantaged, when it comes to ELLs, when it comes to at-risk students. How is it that we could create some type of different culture where these students will excel? I mean, they've already gotten the taste of college, so they're going to go and continue. I mean, it's the diversity is there as a regular high school, but these students are being pushed more, the rigor is more intense, and then depending what happens there, we could try to model some of that stuff to include it in the high school where it increases.
Okay, so that's the goal for this year.
Just a question.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they do this, but what about having like a boot camp?
That's what the new principal is talking about. She's talking about starting, going a grade lower, starting even at sixth grade, getting those kids even taking the Accuplacer in middle school, and doing some boot camps and better recruitment. I'm really excited about the new principal.
It is hard. It's a hard
exam. She's already.
Her first day was yesterday. One thing about her, she wants. We call it Natchez. In Socorro Mission, where she comes from, it's called Metches with an M. They use that, and they hate that term. That's like a derogatory term to say Metches, and so they call their school Mission. And you always hear about Mission.
Right.
She wants to start using the term Northwest when we talk about Natchez. She wants to say Northwest, Northwest this, Northwest that, similar to how Socorro uses Mission and similar to how El Paso uses Trans Mountain. She wants to get rid of us using Natchez. So you might want to start thinking about saying Northwest.
That's fine.
We're going to have it in policy.
I know she just started, but... Is she going to like evaluate it? Does she have some new ideas she
wants
to bring? Does she want to change it up? Because
some of the
population that served there, they really don't belong there.
One of the issues is, and we talked long about this in the final interview, we've got to kind of baby step the juniors. Because, I mean, they're in it. And we got to just get them through. And she's got to start really fresh with these incoming freshmen. And so the feeling is that she'll do everything she can with the current junior and sophomore classes, which are now the senior and junior classes. But really, as far as fundamental changing, getting with a new freshman.
Okay, this that we're talking about right now, do we foresee, or are we looking that there might be some juniors that might not even get a high school diploma?
We have juniors that are at risk to graduate high school. Yeah. I don't know the actual number of freshmen coming in. I haven't heard that it's off, so it's somewhere between 80 and 100.
Should there not be some kind of requirement that if you can't pass high school, you need to go back to high school
and
remediation?
And again, that's a fine line because the kids sign these contracts, and it's a slippery slope. You start letting kids go back to the high school or even requiring it, and then more kids want to exit. And you start depleting their number. Right now, if a kid wants to leave Northwest, they have to come see me. And there has to be a meeting with the superintendent. And I think in the year I've been here, I've done about 5 or 6 of those.
And help me to understand, what I'm hearing is you go there in the 9th grade, but before you're accepted in, you're supposed to take an Accuplacer exam. So how is it that these ones that are juniors haven't passed it?
Because they've taken it five or six times and they failed it.
So you just have to take it. You don't have to pass it.
No, you have to pass it.
No, that's not a condition of...
It's not a condition of enrollment for us. It's a condition of enrollment at EPCC.
So they can just keep buzzing along.
But the occupacer is different levels, right? You could have passed the math and... I mean, you might be stuck. So you might not have passed the math and science.
Right, but we have juniors that don't have a nickel of credit at EPCC. So
that's not good.
So we have a lot of work, and you guys have told you that's one of my major emphasis this year personally. I'm going to really work with Savina to improve Northwest and get it going.
But the other thing we need to look at, guys, is we can't look at it as the same as Socorro.
We can't make it an elite.
You can't, because they get the elite. If we get the cream of the crop, we'll have the same results. They decided to get the cream of the crop. We did. That's why the Gates Foundation dropped us.
You're kidding.
No. Not
That's
kidding.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Dropped us.
I would think would embrace us.
They want the cream of the crop.
What drives me crazy?
And I'm sorry, but that's being elitist.
You go to these conferences.
Yeah, I don't agree with cream of the crop either. Middle of the road kids.
Yes, exactly.
You go to these conferences, and I went to one at midwinter. Last year, where they had a luncheon for all superintendents who had an early college. And so I go in there, and it was really cool. It's all these mucky-muck superintendents, and I was a starry-eyed rookie. And they're up there on the podium, and they're talking about access for all and reaching these first-generation, that's the term they use, first-generation college-goers and all this. That's what they say on the podium. They get off the podium, it's a whole different story. Oh, well, you know, I mean, you can set some requirements. You can certainly do that. And it turns into these elite situations. And I was talking to the superintendent of Carrollton, and they have an early college for GT kids. You got to be GT
to get into
to go to early college at their school.
Are those the guys that you really want to encourage to go to college?
Well,
those guys
anyway.
Those guys are going to go to college if you put 10-foot obstacles in front of them,
and they're 6 inches tall.
They're going to find a way.
So they have this podium talk and then the off-podium talk.
I think what we need to look at is... I think what we need to look at is what is the value added of the program?
Yeah.
And that is true, and I do agree there is a huge argument that if a kid earns 30 hours of college credit, he's way ahead of me when I graduated, and there is a value. But at the same time, I would like the mission of the school to carry forward that they get those dual degrees at a much higher level.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it's very attainable, it's doable, even with our...
Like
we need to show the world that our kids can do it too.
Yeah.
And if they're not graduating with the dual degree, well, we just missed the boat. We didn't...
Right, it's a failure on us, too.
Yes,
not necessarily. What if those kids that still didn't earn a college degree, a two-year degree, what if the rest of them still outperformed our high school students?
That's true. Because they're going to...
What do you say? Well, it was a failure?
Yeah, no.
But
I think it's a failure,
especially with
us.
What is the mission, though? The mission is that they will graduate with a dual degree.
That is
true. That is the mission.
And that is...
But we also need to think of it that we're not sending the cream of the crop. And I don't think we want to go down that road. We want to make it available to those that have an interest in going, and otherwise they may not be able to go. You know? Those that, you know, we want to encourage those other kids.
Okay.
And what if they don't end up getting a degree, but they get them some hours, and they end up outperforming our high school students?
Okay.
But I'm telling you,
has that been a failure? Has that been a failure?
So, what I'm telling you, we can satisfy all of
them. Not in my book.
We can satisfy all of it because what you guys are saying, we're already doing and we can do it at a better rate. But we also, I feel, can get them all, or at least the large majority.
Well, we need to work
we need to work at that.
Because
I agree with you. No, anytime you teach anything, you didn't fail.
Right.
But our mission is, that's what our ultimate mission is, that we want them to have that.
I agree.
And that's the goal we should
really, I was questioning. I don't know. Yeah. But good.
Okay.
I think our the way that we try to handle that school is the right way, not the exclusionary way of only those A's would want to come here to this school.
And to the faculty's credit, you know, faculties can be really fickle and really conservative when it comes to students, and that they're not really at a huge rush to make all these requirements of kids either. I think they understand what they're facing and what the district provides, but they do want us to create some time parameters on the kids.
I'm all sorry.
Yeah, they focus more on parental and student involvement.
Yeah. Rolling on, the last one, CISD, and I'm excited about this, will enhance and promote college and career readiness, PK-8, with specific activities occurring at each campus. And yesterday, the principals made like a list of 30 things. And then, at the end of the year, similar to our fine arts symposium we had at the high school, have a district-wide culminating activity for career readiness, career and college readiness for the district. And I'm actually thinking, last year, we focused on No Place for Hate for homecoming. I'm actually thinking this year we should focus on college and career readiness and have homecoming activities. And instead of wear purple to beat the scorpions, we wear our favorite college shirt one day and stuff like that. And do the parade with a college theme or career theme, stuff like that. So.
What about?
And they gave a list of like 30 strategies that they want to work on regarding this yesterday.
There was I think we had talked about this last year, right? And one of the things that, there was one of the conferences we had attended where they had like pre-K people attend, you know, some type of thing, and then they had, once it started going higher, you know, then they attended a university or something.
Oh, you mean going to the university and field trips and things?
And stuff like
that.
Yeah, that was talked about yesterday.
The other thing that there's a CEA, which is Richard Gostro, the owner of McDonald's.
Yes, I know him.
Try to do a partnership. Maybe he could fork over some money over the and maybe do like I think Socorro or Isleta did this one year. They took all their kindergarten kids and they took them all to the Don Haskins and said, y'all are the class of, you know, 20, whatever. But just something where there's some type of program in place and it'll be consistent throughout the years, whether it's a university or field trip of some type.
Okay, got it. Moving on, the next page is continuation of what we did this year, standards-based curriculum, PLCs, we've got that, and it's now core in our program. Page 9, the classroom monitoring, again, core to our program. That goal on the top of page 9 is what nabbed that teacher who hurt that kid. Remember that teacher that drugged the girl? It was only through this classroom monitoring goal that we actually were able to get him fired, because not only did he have that really negative incident where he drugged the kid, but because I had required Connie Parker to be in that room on a regular basis, she had all these notes about his negative teaching. And when the attorney showed up to argue that he shouldn't be fired, it was that he hurt the kid, but then there was also all this other stuff. And it was that other stuff that finally he just resigned. And so that's really good. The bottom of page 9, 25% decrease in retentions, not advancing to the next grade level. We'd like to see the principals and the teachers work hard, as well as the kids, on less failure. Next page, you guys approved the 5-year career and technology education plan, and simply the goal is to implement the year one items that were in that plan. And I don't have it here tonight, but she broke it up by year, and it's just to implement the year one. The bottom of page 10 is the other accountability piece, Armando, you were asking about. It's called the STAR chart, and it rates districts and schools on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 5.
What page are we?
Page 10 at the bottom. 1 to 5 at the bottom as far as technology. A one is bad, a 5 is good. And we want to increase our rate. We want to get rid of our 1s. It's ranked in several different areas, and I can have Annette come and present at the board about the STAR chart. We want to get rid of the ones that we have, which is basically areas where we have no technology, so we get a 1. And then we want to increase to at least a 3 all of our academic ratings.
Go ahead, Monica.
No, you go ahead.
No, go.
Well,
We got this last year. I don't know if you recall. I asked for it. Martha Kidd had reported it. Just didn't look bad at all.
Good. And we're gonna look even better. And I'm really excited about this. This is an area that I really want to focus on. Talk to Gustavo about this. You know, the schools that are really hitting it hard around the state, that are really just nation top schools, have technology infused in the day-to-day lives of their students. And I don't know if that means that every kid gets a laptop, but goodness gracious, we certainly can go a much further way in implementing technology in the classrooms at our schools. Really, we can.
I'm going to ask you regarding the STAR chart. In the past, when we had career technology lead teachers helping assist, a lot of teachers really don't know how to fill it out. They really don't. And they just put, like, if they're mad at their administrators that day in the area of administration and support, one, they don't take it serious. I don't think they realize how much weight the STAR chart actually has on E-rate funding and all that other business. So how are you getting the word out and getting the teachers to actually fill it out? Because I know in the past it was like pulling teeth. They didn't want to do it. They didn't see it as important. They didn't want to fill it out. And you have to have 100% filled out. So who's assisting?
I'm making a note. Staff development on how teachers fill out STAR chart materials. Okay.
Bamboo shoots?
Under the nail, only the
fingernail,
not the toenail.
You're not
going to
what?
That's our leader, Sergio.
I want to ask y'all a question about the next one. There was a big discussion about this yesterday. Fine arts, you know, I think we got the School of Music, the funding they need. I think we're doing better. Continue that. I would like to see us go towards starting an orchestra program in Canyon, which we're the only district in Region 19 that doesn't have, or large district that doesn't have an orchestra.
Have one, yeah.
And it would mean a capital outlay that maybe we could start early, start with the elementaries or pilot it or something like that. I would love to get something going.
Dr. Murphy, do you know how much the parents at Franklin pay for their students' instruments?
Yeah.
$2,500 is the median price.
Yeah.
Our parents can't afford that, and we as a school district, and I mean, these are fine instruments, that's why their orchestra is, I mean, it's world class. To compete, I mean, we have to have the money to be able to either buy everybody an instrument, which orchestra's not like them, they're so finely tuned. One kid crumbs it up, that's it forever. The orchestra instrument doesn't come back like the band instrument does. I'm all for an orchestra, but it's a lot of money, and for us to provide all kids instruments,
it's tough,
is very hard, because how can they possibly be responsible? I mean, the parents from Franklin go to Albuquerque.
Well, but Franklin's an example, but I know Bowie has an orchestra. Riverside has an orchestra.
We'll figure out how they got them.
And the poor schools have them around the city. We're one of the few that don't.
But before the orchestra, we wanted mariachi.
Yeah.
We got it. We got mariachi coming in Northwest.
And there's cake, too.
Sure.
Actually, I think it's a good idea. I mean, the board authorized to start this orchestra 5 years ago or six years ago. And we were supposed to put in $100,000 a year. And we didn't do it for any year.
Yeah, but they started like in middle school.
Yeah,
violins, sixth
grade. Well, fifth grade orchestra is what they have.
Maybe we can look into putting in some money to buy some, you know, not the $2,500 ones, but
maybe we
I'm thinking we can get some entry level orchestra stuff to get it started, and later on maybe the parents can on their own, if the kid really is interested in, they can buy on a rent to own, whatever, buy the instrument for them.
They do,
but
have
they're not going to make that kind of expenditure if they didn't even know the kid's going to stay with it.
Right.
But I think we ought to provide
the basic
stuff and see if we can do that. And I don't know, depending on how we do this here, maybe we can take out of the contingency fund or whatever is at the end, if we actually have some kind of money left over this year, if we do good on it, is actually sink in $50,000 to
any possibilities of piggybacking with the El Paso Symphony Orchestra or with their youth orchestra?
Isn't there a youth teacher, what's his name?
Uh-huh.
He was going to run for
youth
city.
I forget his name.
Where does he teach?
He teaches, I think he's a teacher in EPIS.
But that we could possibly, you know, get help from professionals.
The El Paso Symphony Orchestra is made up of mostly players from that are in college here, or are music teachers. So they don't do full time El Paso Symphony Orchestra. They normally have
Normal people.
Right.
And the Symphony Guild has a lot of very philanthropic people within it. Woody Hunt's wife, I believe, is on the Symphony Guild. You might.
Well, you know what? The other thing is, those violinists could very well, later on, if they go into high school, could decide to go into the mariachi instead of the orchestra.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And the bass.
Okay.
There's also Save the Music from MTV.
VH1.
You know what? That's a goal. We need to apply for more grants.
Okay.
No. We don't have a grant writer yet. No?
Yes.
We do?
We have a... Yes. What's your name?
Is it just
Anna
external
Zuniga.
Funding?
It's our external
Anna
funding.
Zuniga. Anna
but
Zuniga.
Is she applying for grants? Because
yeah, is
we,
she
haven't
applying
had,
for grants?
We haven't had
grants
like we used to, like when Jose...
Didn't
they
used to come before the board when they
yeah.
applied
they do.
For grants?
We haven't done anything before the board.
If they're interested.
Did she apply for any grants?
I can find out.
Dr. Murphy, there's one for her to start on the grants for school buses, I probably.
How about we need to look at a goal increasing the amount of grants.
Okay.
And I don't know how we would measure that goal, or how we could, but that would be one of the goals.
Well, increase right now would be very hard.
Right.
Can we apply for 2 grants?
Yeah.
We haven't had anything in like 2 years. Seriously. Yeah.
We will have 2 grants applied for and received.
Since we lost Jose.
At the end of the year.
How about we create a plan of attack in our grant funding and what we're going to do? Sort of like a...
How about it be the orchestra, tied to the orchestra? We would like to have an orchestra and have the grant writer fund some portion, begin to fund it by finding 2 grants this
where
year.
Else would
well,
we need
have
the grants?
Just say fine arts.
Yes.
So we can leave
yes.
Broad.
Okay.
Fine arts and what's another thing so we could, it's not
academics.
Just specific.
Technology.
There was, I just sent the bus one around.
And
got the
bus
the
transportation.
Program.
Because I think there is some funding on, and we have to apply, or they, I think they're, like the high school, since it's nowhere near the communities,
yes.
We get money for that. Because it's unsafe for our kids, so they have to.
Don't
okay.
tell anybody that or won't.
Have you seen them?
Next up, I'm going to push us along here. Page 12 is pretty simple, although the bottom one generated a lot of discussion. CISD will establish a culture that promotes a positive work and school environment. We have the raw materials right now to really have a good morale. We gave a raise. We're recognized district. Bond TRE passed. We should be able to build on that, and we should be able to bust through this concern that still lingers about bad morale. And we want to, and this was another one where the principals yesterday and the leadership were putting like 40 different things on here.
To that end, are we also going to do a end of the year banquet type thing?
Or? That would be something here to, that would fit right under it.
And to begin to get the door prizes now.
Okay.
Not the little crummy ones either, the good ones.
Yeah. What about promotes a positive, respectful, and fair?
Well, part of the group that I worked with yesterday of leadership, their goal was to expand the No Place for Hate program to the professional level and not just the student level, so that there is that respect and that expectation of a safe and safe work environment for everyone.
And that's why I'm saying a respectful and fair, you know, there has to be respect.
Positive, respectful, and fair work.
The other thing is, and I need to get to you, when I went to Naleo in San Antonio for that conference, it talks about an expectation of respect, and I think Florida, the Miami-Dade City Council did something where, you know, it was, you had to sign off, you were going to respect others.
Yeah,
no,
that's what No Place for Hate does.
Religion, race, yeah. Preference, all that. And then the parents also had to sign something. So it's something that we need to broaden across and sort of, I need to bring that to you, but I have it. I want to. So it's, you know, being respectful, positive, respectful, and fair.
Dr. Murphy, you went quickly by the top one on page 12, Campus Community Leadership with the DEC. Just to recap that, we've got the policy, if you would make sure the committee fits the policy.
The DEC?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, and I can guarantee you it does.
It has things that are going over what you're just talking about, that committee is going to include a definition of dating violence that includes everything on the face of the earth, that it's going to have a management program providing for the prevention and education concerning unwanted physical and verbal abuse. This has it all.
EQ local legal there. Gustavo's going to be the superintendent's designee at DAC this year.
To apply BQ legal to performance objective 1 on page 12.
Got it.
How about if one day out of the month, instead of just saying we're going to promote not to do this, how about if we promote to do something
positive
trait? Like September is going to be, this day is going to be courtesy day or courtesy week. Next month's going to be...
give a smile.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything.
Okay.
Or maybe just one week out of each semester.
Awareness. Maybe the 55 traits. You guys ever seen that?
No.
It's this writer, and he wrote about the 55 traits of successful life, and it's be courteous, respect others, be a friend, go out of your way to help somebody. There's 55 of them. We could maybe get that.
Get that? That sounds really like a great idea.
Okay, page 13, we will continue No Place for Hate with all CISD campuses reaching the status again this year. That means there'll be the comprehensive activities across all schools. And the student and staff surveys, parent and community involvement. Also, I wanted to add parent surveys. We're going to do much better on surveys this year. And maybe we can do some parent and community surveys as well, around with students and staff.
Dr. Murphy, a good thing for community involvement, I don't know if we do it or not anymore, would be that we would take parents on the field trips with us, like when we went to Viva El Paso in middle school. Parents were, you know, almost expected to come with their students. And everybody had a wonderful time, and it encouraged parent participation. And I believe we paid for their tickets too, which, you know, is water off a duck's back. I'm sure we can find some funding that says this is for parental involvement.
Okay.
We just need to make sure.
We all been on the bus.
Make sure we break the rules.
Our audit, no, but.
That it's not a gift.
Yeah.
It's for parental involvement. And I think that, or for at risk.
I don't have a problem with it. We just need to make sure.
Sure, it's done properly.
The next one is Gustavo's Enhanced District Public Perception Through the Region, State, and Nation, with at least 2 significant public information events each month. One of the things that we're going to do is Gustavo has some money in his account this year to purchase a camera, a very nice video camera.
And, I thought you got it already.
Well, he has the money for it. He hadn't bought it yet.
Oh, okay.
And so we are going to create a YouTube channel where you can go to YouTube and type in Canyatillo, and we'll have a whole set of videos about the district, monthly superintendent chats, focus on the high school, focus on Northwest, focus on an elementary, and we're going to be much more video focused on our website. There'll be videos about the schools, and also just continue with our social media effort and all that.
Are we on Twitter?
We are. Our Twitter is linked to our Facebook, so anything that happens on Facebook spills over to Twitter.
And next up's Google Plus.
And we're looking at Google Plus. We might be the first school district in the region to be able to.
Oh, it's
the new
G.go, G.co.
G.co.
Uh huh. That's going to be Google Plus's new domain name.
We're going to be on.
Much about technology.
That's scary. That was a scary moment right there.
Yes, I tried to put a pause in the room, right?
Hey, I'm going to give the new career in technology.
You're not a Trekkie, you're a techie.
Check, Larry, make sure she hadn't had drugs.
Is coffee mixed for you?
It could be, Gustavo.
The next one, page 15. We have two policies that we really want to work hard on with our principals and our staffs. Policy CH is about after the facts and procurement, and we want to do away with our after the fact problem. Now, I wanted to set a goal. I wanted to say reduce after the facts by 50%. Martha Aguirre said if you say that, because an after fact is technically breaking the law.
Yeah.
She's saying if you say reduced by 50%, that's saying that you're going to allow the law to be broken 50% of the time. So she made me write it that we'll have a develop and implement a system for tracking and reporting 100% of the management overrides. But we want to do better on that. And then CFD below that is fundraising. We want to do much better on fundraising activities this year, better training, better staff development, better management of that. Oh yeah, she's very much involved in both of these, especially the fundraising. You remember we had that huge thing with the chocolates at Damian first semester,
right?
And we want to get away from all that. We have the issue this summer with the camps at the high school. We're backwards on, and so this is definitely something that we want to work on.
What are the repercussions for an after the fact?
There's no repercussion right now, other
just
than
get a nasty email from the internal auditor.
Yeah, I can tell you that we have senior staff members that Lori used the term "water off a duck's back." We have senior staff members, including principals, that don't think an after fact's a bad thing. We really don't, and it's probably because they haven't had their hands slapped. I can tell you that El Paso ISD is very, very good as far as tracking and getting rid of after the fact issues, and we need to do better there. We really do. I mean, we have way too many. And technically, each one is a breakage of the law. Because it's encumbering taxpayer money without
approval.
So, rolling on, keeping the 3% variance, expenditures will not exceed any budget. You know, we have like 100-plus budgets. And we did great on that this year. We have now a bond. Improving the district's facilities and qualities of life through proper and monitored usage of the Part 1 bond funds. And we have a list of things already going under there.
Under the bond funds, just
yes.
A concern, depending on the debt ceiling, my concern is if the debt ceiling doesn't happen, there's talk about the bond rating downgrading. And so if the bond rating agencies downgrade, is the PSF still a AAA? And if so, does that make it a higher demand for ours, lowering the interest rate and saving the district money?
So we want the default?
No, well, would it? If the PSF, no, we wouldn't. But if it were to happen and the PSF stays at a AAA and we're able to, because there's so many investment firms that only will buy AAA bonds, so it might be beneficial.
The next one is Teams, and this is where I mentioned you guys. Teams will
get a new program.
CISD will complete the conversion of the finance module of Teams and address all Teams implementation and reporting issues, allowing effective monitoring of all related district operations to the satisfaction of administration and the Board of Trustees. Then the last one is the competitive pay scale, which we will be working on all year for bringing it to the board in the springtime for implementation 12-13.
What about on the bond program, looking at a savings of about 10%?
As a goal?
As a goal.
Savings, so instead of spending $44 million, we only spend 40?
Spending.
From budgeted amounts.
From budgeted amounts, like saving, okay, we bid it, we got this amount of saving, we're able to save here, we're able to maybe with some of the other stuff save money where we're actually could use that in other areas that we need to use, that we could do minor adjustments.
Okay.
Whether it's value engineering or overall savings from the amount budgeted to.
Okay, so that's what we have, and certainly open to any other things right now. I think it's pretty good for the year. Any comments, questions? I do have one other thing I want to go over.
I have something that I'd like as a goal for
okay.
our district.
All right.
I'd like to see our children take more field trips.
All right, we can throw that in on the
how about
standards-based curriculum.
Doing it towards that little program we had. There was a program.
Page 8 at the top.
I think it was like Dallas or what was it? Did you go? It's been a while. I don't think.
They can't go to South Florida.
No. Can we go to South Florida? I'll be what is it called? One of the
chaperone.
A chaperone. No, but where they created a program where it was meant to, you know, to have our kids experience stuff. One of the major things that happens to our kids is you have a large percentage that is economically disadvantaged. And the fact that some of them have not probably even eaten in a restaurant
yes.
or have gone to the mall is sad, but it's true.
Yes.
And once they're experienced to that, it opens up their eyes to want more. And so we need to create something that opens our kids' eyes so that way they can want that, you know. Just going back to your basic examples, and I go and I talk about this, you know, when I was a little kid, if I didn't have, thankfully to Setio, but if I didn't have the ability to communicate with a bunch of attorneys when I was a little kid, you know, just invited to lunch and realizing that if I wanted to become somebody, I knew I had to get an education. You know, how is it that we could create those type of trips for our kids where it opens up their eyes and it makes them want
to. How little were you?
Yeah.
How young were you?
When did I start?
I started getting involved about.
I was 10.
How old were you now?
10, you know?
Last year.
he was probably like either somewhere in late elementary or middle school.
Michael came to me as an eighth grader.
Yeah.
Started requesting board
adjustments. Yeah. I knew that. I was volunteer before that. It was like.
Did you make him fill out the public information form?
Was he your daddy too?
Just kidding. But doing that, and the other thing, I mean, it would be awesome, but imagine if our kids got to eat at, like, let's say, Guffus and thought, man, what would that open their eyes
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely. And they have to be prepared to eat there. They can't just be take Lake Canyon Tio and go to Cafe Central.
And
you've got to get to Applebee's or do some training so that you don't feel totally out of place.
And that's the thing. Is like
yes.
There's also etiquette. We
yes.
do an etiquette class.
I used to be.
Yes.
That was,
and I think some of our kids are starting to lose that. You know,
yeah.
I could look at my nephew.
There's a school down in Segundo Barrio called Zavala Elementary.
Yes.
And Zavala, end of the year, has a white tablecloth China dinner for their fifth graders every year.
Well, we used
and
to
they
take,
prepare for
oh,
it.
Cotillion.
And
yeah.
then those fifth graders.
And
I
get children make the fifth and sixth to the cotillion every year.
That's neat.
And yes. it was good for them, Dr. Yeah. Murphy. They learn to dance, they learn to eat, they learn to speak, and it made a difference. Did you ever get to go to the cotillion?
No.
We can't tell.
I've been at the Canuda
table. We can have our own.
Okay.
But, Dr. Murphy, I'd like to see, and with finance, to go with it, that our kids, because I'm like our mom, if there's kids here, are never going to go to the zoo unless we take them.
Oh, zoo, I didn't mention zoo.
Zoo, symphony used to be standard in the fifth grade. You went to the symphony. standard in...
I think we do some of that.
And all that could be career orientated. You have the zoo guy, the zookeeper, actually tell him what their job is and what he does. And, you know, and then you take them to a university where, you know, this is where, I mean, where it's a program in place, you know. You could take them to the park and have a park ranger talk to them.
Yeah.
And you
part
know,
of career ready.
We've got the park right there. You're
the,
right.
The courthouse.
Take them to the Huffing Monkey.
I'm on you. I'll
facilitate that one.
I'm chaperoning.
You know, you could take all the elementary kids to go see the most dangerous animal in North America.
Which is?
The middle school student.
But the courthouse, I mean, there's so much out there. Maybe the FBI building.
No, we don't. So planetarium.
The jail.
They do a really nice field trip to that ranch out in Las Cruces.
Yes. It's wonderful.
The kids loved it.
How about a dairy?
They used to take them to the dairy, too. Before they closed the Pokeroni Ranch, they used to take them there.
The best one where we could take them would be, and it's... like 4.5 hours away, and that's called the Las Golondrinas Ranch, and right before you get to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it's a working ranch like it was back in the 1800s.
Really?
Wow. Yes. And they have, and it's better to go during certain times of the season, like when they have the harvest, or they have different weeks or weekends where it, that whole week. And it's all volunteer people from the area. There's Santa Fe, Albuquerque that go, and actually you can see them the way people used to have life back in the 1800s. And they do their own weaving there. They do the rugs, and they color them with nothing but natural, the way they used to, with the yucca. Yeah. They make soap from that. They boil the water to wash the clothes. Everything you can think of activity that they used to do, they have it on the ranch. And you get to go through and how they make the food, the tortillas, the whatever. They let the kids even make rope the way they used to make the rope. They let the kids cook the tortillas in the oven the way they used to do them.
That's when I was growing.
Yeah, the kids get to participate in that. Doing that, making candles. I mean, everything you can think of is what they did to get by to live. I mean, that'd be an eye-opening experience for some of our kids, for some of us.
But I would say, Dr. Murphy, my estimation on this would be I'd like to know what we spent last year on student field trips, elementary, middle school, and high school, and if you could provide the board with that, and we decide we're going to up that spending by 5%, 10%, no percent, I don't know, maybe it'll be sufficient, but that we would fund field trips.
And maybe go to take the other, maybe if possible, I don't know if they do them, let's go take them to the Los Alamos lab.
Oh, be marvelous. Or what's the other one, the Sandia labs are in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have great stuff.
Yeah, it's all waiting here.
The other, I have a couple.
Okay, great. Oh, sorry.
We have the grants in there, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, try to expand the mariachi program to the high school or coordinate where we have a kind of deal mariachi.
Well, we were thinking this year getting it started in Northwest.
And it's fine.
And then expand as we go.
It's a bit part of the orchestra, because the orchestra has violins, right? That type of thing under that. Now, under the competitive pay scale, I think we need a comprehensive employee. And I want detail, and I think if anybody else has any information, I want to look at locally. We could look at the TASB as well, but I want to look at locally where we have our school district. We have El Paso, Isleta, Socorro, Anthony, the big seven, or the seven that are near us. And then I want to look at across the board, whether it's 1, 2, 3, how is it, and then the top, the one that pays the highest, the one that pays the lowest, and then what's the average on every, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And then that would be on the teachers, on the employees. We could probably subgroup them into 1 to 500, elementary campus, 500 to 1,000. and then do that at the middle school, 500 to 500 to 1,000, 1,000 to 1,500 elementary campus, and then looking at.
Why do you think, and you've said this before, why do you think the size of the school determines the salary? I've never been in a district that's done that.
The demand of the work? I mean, we have to look at the competition.
But what I'm saying is that in El Paso, the principal at Kohlberg and the principal at Zavala, which is make the same money. It doesn't have anything to do with the size of the school.
Well, it used to be in our district. I mean, if that's what the market is, then that's where it would be, right?
But I'm just saying, I don't know a district that differentiates size.
But if that's what the market is, whether it's 100 to 500 on an elementary school and 500 to 1,000, there's no differentiation, then the average is going to stay the same. Correct?
It's not.
Yeah.
I don't think there's that big of a difference.
No, if there's not a difference.
I don't think there's that huge of a difference between elementaries.
Oh, no.
But a district has a pay scale on like a middle school principal, and their pay scale doesn't take into account size of school.
I don't have a problem with not taking it into account, but I want to make sure the board is on task, because then if they start, you know, because you'll hear it as well, some of those are bigger campuses, then I want the full board to be on board with that. I don't have a problem with it. But
okay. Well, no, we can do that. So I'm hearing comprehensive with TASB, yes, but then much more local, region 19, highest, medium, lowest, teachers, other employees, and look at size of
administrators.
Right. The whole thing.
Yeah. Counselors.
Some of them are not going to be able to actually compare because they'll have different
titles
in our jobs.
And then the other thing is stipends to do it across the board. The same.
Same type of comparison.
Did you tell them we wanted a raise?
Yes, we want a raise.
The last thing. Anything else? Yes.
And
I apologize.
Our travel policy.
What about it?
I think we need to revisit it.
We just did visit.
No, we need to revisit the
board travel.
The board travel.
And the per diem.
And the per diem is something that is different because per diem includes everybody.
And I think they increased per diem.
Did they?
I think so.
Yeah, she said something. That
it has increased. I'll get the number for you in the
I think Leslie had mentioned El Paso.
Yeah, they give them like 71 a day.
For board?
For everybody.
Socorro
per diem
gives their
is
board.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Socorro gives their board more per diem than employees.
Oh, they do.
No, mm-hmm. We want to be fair.
I don't want that.
Imagine.
Damn, Socorro. Okay,
board travel per diem.
$150.
You guys, I can't believe you.
$35.
That winning so, dad.
But on the travel policy, what I want to look at is, I think I'm probably going to get into a leadership TASB, but I want it to be open where if other board members get any type of programs that are beneficial to the district and correlate with, you know, some of the training, that it's open. Yeah, that it's covered. And I want to, I know Ms. Sanchez was a little bit crazy on some of that stuff, so just make sure that we look at it.
It does need to be looked at.
Yeah. Okay. Because also, I have a clause on my contract that needs to be looked at regarding this as well. If I am away and have to, I'm personal, and have to come back to the district in an emergency fashion, or I have to come back to the district for something that I have to be at, I have to pay my own travel for that. And I want to get that in there that if there's an emergency or something like that, that the district will pay my travel back to the district to take care of business.
Your attorney wrote it like that?
I don't know. Yeah. I just want to get that.
You got Jim.
We won't be fixing that. And that brings me to my next item.
Mr. President's call right there.
So that's the travel. Looking at it the same, too. If there's
special
something
training
that needs to happen, then we're okay with that.
Okay.
The other thing last is, and I don't know if we want to touch it, but naming of facilities under the policy.
Don't we already have a good
that's
policy?
Not a goal. That's not a goal.
But it's okay. But we do have policies to be updated.
Well,
we can certainly look at it.
We can take a look at it.
All right.
And what I'd rather do is add something where there's
naming the facilities,
preferably deceased but open.
Just let it go.
That's what everybody.
It just riles it up.
But well. Wait, the thing is, when it comes to discussion of naming this,
it's going to be called Canyon View Elementary. Okay, that's a good one.
Desert Elementary.
No, not Desert.
Mountain View.
How is it
Vista.
I don't know.
Can you just put one in the Friday packet?
I got it. Put the naming facilities in the Friday packet, please, Tony. Yes,
and Dr. Murphy, could you also acquire for us the ordinance about the naming of the city streets so that we can see? Because I've been looking around at street signs, and I think they've taken us for a ride on that. It can only be this way for our
letters, number of letters.
Uh-huh. I've seen.
I don't know. Okay, ordinance of how
street names.
Streets are named.
But it may be Hunt's
required
deal.
Well, let's find out what it is.
Yeah. They don't want it Chupacabra way.
Oh, I like that.
All right. Anything else that anybody you want us to take a look at?
Not again.
Oh. No, it's not really. It's not a goal. No, it's not really. I already talked to Pam about it. It's not. I don't think it goes with this.
I don't. This isn't a goal, Dr. Yeah. Murphy. But could we look at CMS purchase of tables and chairs? They got that crappy stuff from the old high school.
Well, they get $4 million in the bond. 4 point something million in the bond. To build a new entranceway and remediate throughout. And we might, in the savings that Armando's talking about, the 10%, that might be something that we could go back and get.
Can I ask you, maybe it's a really stupid question. Would it benefit, and really I don't know if this is the stupidest question I could ever ask, would it benefit the school district to be a member of Direct Buy? Purchasing all of the stuff that we purchased.
Well, we have all that in through those buy boards.
Is that the buy board?
Same type of thing. It cuts out that middleman.
Okay.
I have a question. Yep. This year, they had like a workshop where teachers nominated students to take like an SAT or an ACT prep course. Was that through a grant, or was that something that we're going to?
Yes,
do
that's through the Princeton Review that we have.
What? The Gear Up Grant.
It's the Gear Up Grant.
So is it something that we can do again next year or no, because it was only for that class of 2012 that was under the Gear Up umbrella?
Well, they were juniors. I don't know.
I'll look into it.
That was really good.
What's going on with that grant that we're looking at?
The Gear Up?
Is it Gear Up?
Yeah. We're going to, it went away and we're having to re-up.
That's why I think it's...
And we're... We have two choices. We can either partner.
We have one now. We made a decision.
Oh my gosh.
Well, okay. We had two choices. We could partner with a university and college, or we could partner with another school district. And we looked at it, and partnering with EPISD brings us a ton more money than partnering with a university.
Well, partnering with a university, the universities take 50% off the top, and then the rest they divvy up among the campuses. And
partnering with the school district.
Partnering with the school district, with an urban and a rural, there's a pretty good chance of getting it, and then the money is all for the schools.
So it's going to really increase our money.
And the schools get to make the choices on how the money is spent, as opposed to getting 50% split among the campuses and then doing what the university wants you to do with it.
But that's the upside. The downside is what?
Well...
Because isn't the correlation for Gear Up is to Gear Them Up for higher ed? So
where is
that partnership done?
It is college readiness, but it doesn't mean you still can't partner up and have activities with the university. But you have more say as to what's going to happen with the university. For example, Princeton Review. You know, yeah. You can have more. We only could put 19 or less than 20 students on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, where's the rest of the money? I said, why can't we do more? Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, because we don't have enough, we only get a certain amount of money for it. So we get to put, we could put every junior in that class if we were to. It's still competitive, so.
Are we, do we have a big chance of getting this mixture if we don't gear up with the higher ed?
And both could get it. So we have the option of also going with both, but then if we had gotten, we would have had to make a choice either way.
Because
and it
UTEP,
probably wouldn't have looked as good if, you know, we were with both.
UTEP went with Socorro?
Yes, that's exactly.
And all the other were going to go with EPCC?
Yes, EPCC would have several, all of the rural districts. So it's just not very
much. And who was
Isleta
partnering up with?
I'm not sure Isleta went with. I'm not sure. Because UTEP chose Socorro, I think Isleta was out. To my knowledge.
So we have a good chance. I want to get that grant. That's
right.
Go ahead.
I think we had a really good chance.
Regarding that, do you think that we could get some kind of report on how our kids did on their AP exams? I know the
I was thinking the same thing. I was
can
just came
do
in.
Do they give you that? Do they give you that information or no?
Well,
are you not privy? I know it was mailed
review,
to the house.
Yes, they're going to have. I'm going to ask for the data from Princeton Review to see how did the students that took that course.
That and the AP. Yeah, the AP.
Yes,
exam,
and the AP.
And, yeah.
Yes, we do.
And yeah, the kids who actually took that.
And we have to do, and we talked about this so much better with AP. There's not a lot of deep curriculum alignment happening with alignment to what's tested. And
that's
what
I was going
to
talk about right now, but I know I already talked about it with you. I don't know if we can incorporate it, but.
Into a goal.
And,
well, yeah, because I was telling her, I mean, you're getting kids that are taking AP classes and they're coming home on their report card 98s, 99s, 100s. And then they go take the AP exam or they take the SAT and it's not up to par.
Well, it's the same thing that was happening with our kids passing all their passes and not passing the tests. The rigor has to increase and we've seen that.
Well, the rigor and the alignment. In other words, teach what's going to be on the test and better. That's the doctrine of no surprises.
I know that UTEP, the GARAP program was in the paper here. Not too long ago, where they secured a lot of funding for the GARAP program.
It's a new grant that is.
Right.
We just turned in all our stuff last week, a week and a half ago, to compete on this next one. But really, trying to go for a bigger piece.
And
of
EPCC just our funding just ran out. Or?
Well, the grant ended.
So we decided not to stay with it.
Right, because the funding was so little. Like I said, I wanted more kids, but
okay,
you can only get this many. Okay. And so I'd rather take a chance and go for the bigger to really make a bigger impact, which I think we have a good chance with an urban and a rural district partnering together.
Are the other rural districts?
I believe it's Sun Ellie that has never gone to Europe at all, but the other ones have gone with EPCC in the past, which has taken, you know, a bigger piece of our pie.
Oh, I had to go to the restroom. I'm sorry. I'm fading fast. I've gotten like 6 hours of sleep the last 2 days.
Anybody else want to add anything to the end?
And I just have one more thing before we go.
I was really serious about getting some more new clothes. We have winter shirts. Dr. Murphy has them. The board has no summer shirts, and y'all are going to go to the TASA. It's going to be hot as fire in
polo
Austin.
Shirts.
Yeah.
Y'all want to order some polo shirts so we can take to
TASA?
September.
Okay.
Polo shirts. Okay.
That's fine.
I think I wrote down your sizes. Everybody's still the same size?
Tony will coordinate.
Well.
I don't know. No, seriously, did your...
What?
Is it something that we should incorporate or not?
What?
Well, it's because what I said right now that I had talked to Pam about, it was about the AP and like, I like the workshop that they did this year, but only a few kids could go. I'd like to see us expand on that. But I was, my concern to her was kids that are taking the AP courses, they bring home 99s, 100s on their report card, and then when they actually go to take the exam, they bring a 2, a 1.
Well, and another thing that we can do also is really get more kids into dual credit classes, because there, if they take the course and then pass it, they get college credit. They don't have to take an exam.
Okay.
Here they have to take it, the course, pass it, and get a 4 or a 5 on the exam, depending on the university.
But isn't that going to apply to any university, where it's a dual credit class from community college? You're not going to take that to Dartmouth or to Yale or to MIT. I mean, there's a major difference between AP and dual credit.
I guess that would depend on
the
kid course. Wants to
play. Yeah, it's like an ocean's world of difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think we could set as a goal the increased participation in AP.
And dual credit.
And dual credit, both.
Success in AP.
But the success is what I want. Yeah. I want the kids that are, because the buy-in is there. Kids want it, but there's just not...
Their day-to-day classwork has not been rigorous enough. They're not well prepared
when it comes down to actually taking the
test. If more kids are scoring 4 than 5, you're going to have more kids getting going into that class.
Go forward.
Like, when I look, yeah, exactly.
The point is saying that the rigor is too much on taking the
when you work out there. You can keep going.
I mean, that's the pathway.
Yes.
It's where the PLC.
If it happens with AT,
I don't know. Like, how do you come up with the syllabus for those classes? How do they, the teachers do it on their own? Do they have a committee? Where do they go to come up with the syllabus, and what's going to go on in that class?
The higher board of education has to approve the syllabus.
Okay.
Thank you.
And now we know.
So we're going to increase
success.
We're going to increase participation and success rates in AP and dual credit. Yeah.
Okay. I have all these little things. Yeah.
And that's okay. It's good.
Okay. The last thing that I have for you guys is I talked to Ms. Searles, and she brought up a really good point. And this is about goal setting, because on the 15th, Monday the 15th, you guys are going to take up the issue of my contract.
Doc, before we move on,
yes.
I want one other
thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's all right. Anybody else? One other thing. I want our survey expanded.
Expanded survey. Yes.
The student.
We've said it. Student, parent.
And thanks for including the ones that were done.
Yeah. But they need to be much
on that thought, I don't know if I've given you the... What I want to look at more is more like what the university does, the exit survey. How aligned was, you know...
The course.
The course. How well was it taught? How well... What was your expectation in this class?
Absolutely. You know, throughout the year, you guys will send... Throughout the spring, fall semester in particular, if you'll send me, and I'll put out a notice for it, send me stuff you want to see in the survey. We'll get a list.
Well, we could have a class survey and also the student survey.
Yeah.
Like an end-of-course survey.
End-of-course survey.
And then a student survey. So that way we know how the end-of-course within that teacher, within that professor, well, how you took it.
Right. That's what I wrote my dissertation on.
I don't know if you got it.
And along the line of the student survey, I want to see an open-ended deal of, if we had available a career certification, in what field would you be interested in, and would you participate? If you were, in other words, geared towards what our plan is going to be, would you
survey question?
What areas would you like to see offered? And then we can use that to base how we're going to expand and modify our 5-year plan. Or, get it from them.
And maybe the parent have some input too. You know, would you like your child to be a part of, I don't know what, our criminal defense or our criminal course, our county? Yeah, whatever it is. You know, would you like your child to be in CATE, and this is what it equals?
Maybe we can have a reduced parent survey out of
community survey.
Yes, we got that. And a lot of this stuff that we've been talking about, you have been adding, are more like strategies for more of the goals.
Go vote.
But I like the AP one. Gustavo brought up a good point to me the other day. We need to do better on PSAT, which is the pre-SAT that the sophomores take.
Ninth grade.
And, you know, we've never, we haven't had in recent memory a semifinalist, national semifinalist.
Who was that Sam kid, right?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah. And we need to really increase that.
This whole region does a really
poor job, poor and it's job. An area where we can leap ahead if we push on it.
Was that also this year when we had that group of eighth graders take it? Was that also a grant?
You know, I don't know.
Because they let eighth and ninth graders take it this year, but I was wondering, that I've been here, they've never done a reach out to eighth graders.
You're talking about the Explore.
You know what? They took the PSAT.
You know what?
Okay.
Along those lines.
They took the PSAT, I promise. But I never had heard of it done before here.
Along those lines, maybe we can partner up with some, you know, like SAT and, you know, even the PSAT from these companies that do little mini reviews for them to how to take the exam.
Princeton Review?
The Princeton Review to get them to do. And, you know, maybe that we can increase it and some of the money that we can use if we can either get a grant through this grant, but supplement with the other money. Maybe we can match, the school can match some to allow more kids to take those prep courses if we don't have them. If we get the PSAT kids to do
that. PSAT. Advancement, PSAT participation,
which is
PSAT preparation
to
programs to get
I was
ready
sure they
to take
state,
the PSAT.
It was state-funded this year, the Ready Step was. And it's aligned, and then Explore is aligned to ACT, but the district had decided to go PSAT, which I'm kind of pushing we go ACT because that's more aligned to the Texas standard than the district. But, you know, a lot of districts are going ACT because of that.
Okay, anything else? President, can I move on to the other one?
Next one.
On August 15th, you guys are going to take up the issue of my contract. And Ms. Searles was talking to me about, well, aren't we supposed to evaluate you? And then we got into this big discussion about what happened in February. You guys gave me an evaluation. You guys came out on the dais and you said, we've given Dr. Murphy a positive evaluation, but at this time we're taking no action on his contract. But Ms. Searles remembers it, that there was also going to be a further evaluation once the tax scores and everything came in. And so what I've provided you is basically, you've already seen this, if it looks vaguely familiar. It is part two of the evaluation, which was the evaluation on the overarching goals.
Right.
And so the thought would be on the 15th, when you go back to executive and I sit out here sweating bullets, that you would have this document to do some rating on me and some evaluations. I'm very confident regarding it. I think I've done a really good job. I think the district has. But this would be something. And it is goals in that I don't feel I'm out of line talking about it tonight in that it was the goals from last year. And I was just wondering if this would suffice what you would need on the 15th. I would also bring the contract. I've been working with Steve and my own attorney, and so you'd have this and that. Would there be anything else?
We did put this up because we didn't have the results.
Right, now you do.
And now we do. So we need to finish it up. Right. We need to finish that up.
Right.
Can you give us a date again, August?
It's August, Monday night, August 15th.
It's going to be a special
board meeting for evaluation with a wonderful dinner and no
chicken
onions.
Chicken Jerusalem.
And some dessert.
And dessert.
Are we starting at 5:30?
Tiramisu. Would you like some tiramisu?
Yes.
Monica.
And Dr. Murphy, do you
and
remember
some Kevin
how...
If you'll let me have that, I remember
I
it.
I kid.
The golden also on, and let me do this, guys, since it's running late. Let administration come to you with a recommendation regarding the calendaring of the goals and the calendaring of the superintendent's evaluation. Bring it to y'all.
Okay.
Are we going to have this meeting at 6, regular time?
5:30.
5:30.
Mark West.
And it'll be the only thing on the agenda. Unless...
I need you to wear a suit, red tie, please.
All right.
Got red tie.
Orange.
Blue.
Oh, that's my orange.
And I'll allow the blue shirt.
And I'll
Not Boise Blue.
I really look forward to it.
Did you guys read the Texas ISD article? Wasn't that great?
2 days in a row, we were the top story in the state, and our DC 2011 website got, we were normally hitting now like 3-4 sites, hits a day. We were getting 30, 40, 50 hits a day. And it was from around the state, superintendents checking us out, and board members. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
Dr. Murphy, what about, the only thing on here I didn't see was a summary of our staff development plan for the year. Or maybe you could just throw that in a Friday packet that we could see. What staff development?
For coming up or what we did?
No, for coming up. You're ahead.
Okay, that's under...
Actually, in your evaluation, it's under staff development and professional growth. It's an annual summary of the staff development.
Okay, all that's going to be encompassed in all these goals. There's staff development.
But those are past.
No, for next year.
Yes, okay.
So we'll just tease them out. What I mean is that in these over, the stuff that we just went over, mm-hmm. has the strategies for so much of that stuff deals with staff development. So I'll pull it out, and so I can have, you want to have that as a handout at that night?
Uh-huh, because I'm sure Pam's bombing that she's got, you know, her Stetson training to go on, her Kagan training.
All right, so Pam's staff development plan for the next 12 months, I need it by August 10th for the Friday packet.
I'm meeting with the whole CNI staff.
Okay, good.
And with that goes a cost and... You know, we have to have substitutes and
pretty much our CNI budget. It's going to be our, I mean, it's all around
that. Just so that, you know, we know what we're looking for. We don't have to ask every month, did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why doesn't it say this on the warrant list? We'll all know.
So
thank you, Pam.
But this will work. This will work for the 15th? Because you're evaluating what I've done, and that's probably the best way to...
I'll have the audience, I'll have the name of the company, the cost, the location,
and what you hope to achieve. This is going to tie in, since we bought this, it usually does this, and we think it maybe even could do this too, but maybe it's never going to do any of it.
And they'll all be tied around places, remember the professional development, the learning communities, the engagement, the curriculum, and the special population. They'll be all tied around that acronym.
Very good.
And
okay. Well, that's so that this will suffice plus the staff development.
What about prepare for another conference?
Yeah, for the new high school. In the Friday packet also that, you know, we're sharpened up and remembered.
Yeah. Oh, did I save it? No, I didn't save it.
Right.
Hopefully it's still open.
Okay.
Friday packet.
I'll put it in there.
That we, as a board,
did you get a copy?
I did, yes, sir.
Liked what we looked at and what we're going to be looking at.
The other thing that we might want to take a look at doing this year is updating the 5-year plan in the spring. Or sometime between.
Huh? When was the last time we did that?
Well, we did kind of a rough doing before. We did the bond requirements report to Dr. Murphy came in, but it wasn't a comprehensive one.
A 5-year plan?
Yeah.
The last one was
part of the goals?
Yeah. So we need to probably...
A 5-year plan for what?
For the district.
District.
The entire 5-year plan.
That's going to all end on him. Should we wait till he gets here?
Huh?
No. He's,
yeah, you
he's
need
got his exec right there. I was like, what?
Yeah, that involves a lot of...
It is. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Have you even seen the old one?
Should we wait a little bit till
it's
we get
it?
Yeah, when you get your assistant, you can.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask for the assistant in the next budget cycle.
Okay. That's a good time to have the assistant start coming and start working on the update our 5-year plan, which hasn't been done in 2 years.
Well, if there's savings, like out of the contingency, I don't mind like April.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I agree. Like in the spring.
Yeah, if we can maybe bring them on board earlier than. If
where are you going to put them?
I'm going to kick Gustavo out again. Although, although who knows, we might, it depends on what we do with this building.
How about?
Hopefully by then we'll have a plan. Because, you know, we've been talking about building on back here in the warehouse, a technology office, and I could put, move Annette out there, and then I'd have that office maybe for the associate and leave Gustavo. Or
well, you could put the associate at the internal auditor and put the internal auditor with Gustavo.
Next, yeah. Oh, that was the best of the night right there.
Gotcha.
With a low refrigerator.
You know what? Yeah, you could just build a little wall there. Put it on your face.
Convince your mom.
She could have a little cookie.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
All right. We're done. Adjournment.
And I look forward to the 15th.
Adjournment.
Yes. This agenda item is adjournment by unanimous consent.